afternoon and welcome listeners to this broadcast of Shooting from the Hip, brought to you by Sim Trainer, the Dayton area's first indoor range and firearms training center. We're located at 2031 Dryden Road, right across from DP&L in Moraine. You can visit us on the web at sim-trainer.com, or you can give us a call at 937-293-3914, and we'd be more than glad to discuss with you any of your firearms-related interests or needs. If you want to get on the air today, please give us a call at 457-1290. Again, to get into the studios today, it's 457-1290, and we'll be more than glad to get you into the queue. I want to start off today's show with a discussion that something that's been kind of bothering me for the last week or so, and I want to start off by mentioning what we've all heard in recent reports of the current administration's rhetoric geared toward making it well known that the first wave of federally defeated gun control legislation was just that, just the beginning, just the first wave, and they've got more on their agenda. And I want to remind our listeners, and I'm sure you've been following it, there are numerous things going on in the state legislatures. I just saw recently that I believe it was Maine voted 7-6 to enact some very rigorous gun control measures in their particular states. The article reported that the vote was along party lines, obviously. And as we've mentioned so many times, any additional legislation is going to do nothing but affect law-abiding citizens and their attempts to purchase firearms, transfer firearms, whatever it might be. The criminals, I'm telling you, being in law enforcement 30 years, being in the firearms industry for many years, there's plenty of legislation at the federal and state level to cover almost virtually, not almost, every single act you can imagine concerning the illegal application or the illegal transfer of firearms and or accessories. There's already plenty of legislation in effect, and it just gets rather frustrating to hear that they're going to continue to try to pass additional legislation that isn't going to have much effect. And I just want to make a comparison of something that really bothers me. You've got in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, you currently have a trial going on of involving an abortion doctor who the allegations are some of the most horrific allegations that I've heard of in my lifetime, reference to an individual inflicting evil on mankind. And, you know, with his post-birth abortion techniques, whatever you want to call them. And I compare the horrific nature of what's going on there to the tragedies in Boston recently, the Newtown Massacre, Aurora, Colorado, Timothy McVeigh's bombing out in Oklahoma, Jeffrey Dahmer, John Wayne Gacy. When you look at the severity and the magnitude and the impact that those evil people have had on the lives of innocent people, it's on along the same lines. And the point I want to make is that in all those other cases, particularly recently in the most recent cases, because this is where the parallel is that I want to make, the current administration has been quick to chide in with opinions, offering justice assistance and things of that nature. But I've not seen that happen in Philadelphia, and it bothers me because they need to take a more active role. They should have given the full assistance of the Department of Justice to help the local prosecutor's office in dealing with that matter, just as they probably have. And matter of fact, it's been mentioned several times, as they have in Boston and in some of the other locations where they give federal assistance to help them overcome some of the impact of the travesties that have been conducted there. And I can't help but I get a bad feeling. And when you look at where things are going, and it's no secret that many of us, our listeners, many Americans right now feel that things just aren't going real well. Everything from the way government's trying to get more control of our lives to the way the economy's going.
The right direction, wrong direction surveys have been getting a little bit more towards the wrong direction for some time now, and that's absolutely true.
Yeah, and I think that the biggest thing, we've got to make a difference, and we've got the midterm elections coming up in just over a year in 2014, and that's got to be the stopgap. That has to be where we bring the skid to a halt, and we let our statement, our feelings be known, and we have to get legislators who are going to help reverse some of this downward spiral and change things back to some measure of sanity, sane behavior, where we can just deal with what's going on. Because right now there's just so much going on, and there's not enough people that are objectionable to it. There's too many things that people just want to say, well, it's not involving me, so I'm not going to get involved. And we did that for many years in the gun world. We just said, well, you know, it's no big deal. That's that's over there. They're passing that law, or they're trying to curtail those gun rights. And like Mark and I have discussed on the show so many times, you know, we were sliding down a slippery slope heading into about the year 2000, the early part of the 2000s. And finally, people said, wait, we've had enough. We got to start paying attention to what's going on. Well, I want all of you to just start paying attention. Don't be a single issue constituent or single issue voter. Start looking at what's going on and look at the trends, because the trends of the current administration are starting to trickle into other areas of our lives. And we have to look at that. And I think it's time to take a stance. And, you know, I want to hear what you have to say. Again, that's my rant. Mark warns me not to pound on the table when we're in here, because he knew I was a little pumped up when I got in here. But I just want to let you know, it was something that it's very unsettling with me. Last night, Fox News, one of the only news agencies reporting on a regular basis what's going on out there, had a special, and I couldn't watch the special. It was that bad. And and I've been exposed to a lot of bad in my life, and it's perturbing. There's just things that we can't say it's okay anymore. We just can't overlook it. And I want to hear from you, the listeners, a variety of topics. Again, the purpose, though, is just to talk about where we're headed, what we're doing related to gun control, obviously, but in other areas, too. So if you want to chide in on with your comment, be sure to give us a call at 457-1290, and we'd be more than glad to get you up on the air.
I just pulled up a couple of polls on Right Track, Wrong Track for the country, and there were some just in the last week. The Real Clear Politics average of polls shows a 27-point spread between Right Track and Wrong Track. Right Direction, 32% of the country thinks we're going in the right way. 59.6% say we're going in the wrong direction. And that just confirms that we're not alone in this. There's a lot of people who agree that we're not headed where we need to be.
Yeah, the thing is, though, you know, the polls give us general bits of information, but now where do we go from there? That's got to be the issue. Where do we go from there? We have to let the people that are in the position to make decisions know that it's not okay. And I think the voices are starting to be heard, as we reported in the last couple shows. I think it was the senator in one of the western states has decided not to run because he knew there were some decisions he's probably made over the last couple of years that might have an impact, adverse impact on his reelection bid. And there's consequences for behavior. And I think that message is starting to trickle through members of Congress, and they're starting to realize they need to be attentive to what's going on, because we're not just a voice. We're an action. We're moving action with the things we say and what we do.
And if we don't, we're not being responsible citizens. It is our duty as a citizen to let our representatives know what it is that we believe on these issues, what it is and why. It's not just, you know, what do we think about it, what do we feel about it, but why is it that we believe that our country is, we think a country is going in the wrong direction, why do we think it's going in the wrong direction, and where do we think it ought to be going? They have been elected as our representatives to go and do what we have asked them to do to represent us. And if they don't know where we stand and all they get is the inside the beltway echo chamber, they don't understand where we really are. They can't represent us if they haven't heard from us. And that is, I think that's a really important duty that we as citizens have, to make sure that we communicate regularly with our elected representatives. Let's just go right out and talk to the phones, and we'll talk to Glenn, who's calling from Oakwood. Glenn, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Listen, I just want to make a point, okay? And I can either take my response off the air or I can stay on. But
no, just hang with us.
Pardon me?
Just hang with us. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. So here's the thing that I don't understand. You know, I listen to you guys pretty frequently. And, you know, the recurring theme I always hear is that somehow the government doesn't understand what it is that the people want. And I feel almost compelled to remind you and perhaps some of your listeners that the government is the people. We just had a massive election. We just re-elected by a pretty sizable majority.
The smallest majority in recent history, but it was still a majority.
In terms of the Electoral College, sir?
In terms of the public, with the public opinion in terms of the I hear you.
Vote.
Oh, I completely understand.
Vote. So the popular vote, the difference in the popular vote between Obama and Romney was sizably bigger than it was for George Bush in either of his two victories. Okay, but my point is actually not to argue about that. My point is simply to say this. In a representative democracy, the government is the people. the government is not some separate entity that the people are battling against. And one of the recurring themes of the right wing in this country is that the government is anti-people, that the government is against the people, that it works against people. If we don't like the government we have, then we elect a different government.
Well,
the government, sir, is the people, and the people have elected this government. That is a simple but basic fact about American government.
So then how do you explain the fact that more than that, like over 30% of the people think that we're going in the wrong direction? I agree with you.
Sir,
I think you're absolutely, from on the technical perspective, you are absolutely correct.
Okay,
the government is the people. There's no question about that. And the people who are representing us need to represent us, the people. But then how do you explain that right track, wrong track?
If we don't like them, we vote them out of office. That's the way our system works.
You're exactly right. And that's one of the major things that we advocate, because obviously I'm looking beyond the scope, and obviously we deal primarily with guns here. But let me just give you one quick example, because we're kind of talking in general topics. Healthcare. Have you really given a consideration to how the new healthcare cap's going to affect you personally?
And if I have.
I've done the same assessment, and it's a detrimental effect to my situation. So it's not only the administration's proposal, it's going to be the impact it's going to have on mine and my family's situation. So it's beyond just gun control.
At the same time, sir, it's going to have a positive impact on a lot of other people. But you fail to recognize that we are a collective. You know, this government is not a 350 million absolute individuals. You know, we must function as a community. We are a society. Right? We are a polity, and therefore, we have to act as a group. We have come up with a system. It's not a perfect system, but we nonetheless have a system that allows us to elect representatives and to fashion the government that we choose to have. This goes all the way to the Constitution. You know, these constitutional rights were not given to Moses on Sinai. They were written by people. We have the means, in fact, to change the country.
Exactly. And there's a classic example of where the current administration is attacking basic constitutional principles the Second Amendment.
But without going through the process that the Constitution calls out for changing the Constitution and changing the guarantees in the Constitution. So I think there's one thing that I want to take issue with, and that is that we are not a democracy. Although we use democratic processes, this is a constitutional republic. Democracy is the rule of the mob. The constitutional republic is the rule of law, and that's a very important distinction. Glenn, thanks very much for calling the show. Let's move on to John, who's calling from Mechanicsburg. John, welcome to the show.
Hello. How are you?
We're doing great. We got about a minute left before we need to take a break. What can we help you with today?
Well, I just it's like on the sequester. You know, the only people that Obama was concentrating on was taken from the military and the seniors, and they won't get paid and all this kind of stuff. Why didn't he think about taking the assistance from the illegals and the welfare from, the ones that don't have it coming and things like that, instead of he's always, picking on the dadgum citizens. You know, the people that did what was right and worked all their lives, that's the only ones he knows how to, take advantage of.
Well, John, you bring up the example that the previous caller was kind of hinting to, but I think took a little bit different stances, that we all have different opinions. You obviously have opinions different and opposite he in certain areas and probably different in certain regards that we have. But when we come back from the break, we'll talk a little bit more about some of those issues.
Yeah, we do need to take our first break for the hour. So if you'd like to be part of the show, call the studio at 457-1290 and we'll get you up on the board. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on 95.7 FM and AM 1290 News Talk Radio WHIO.
God bless America. This is your blood brother, Ted Nugent, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on News Talk Radio WHIO.
Welcome back to the show, and hearing Ted's voice right there just reminded me Ted's going to be in the Dayton area doing a concert at the Phrase on August 2nd of this summer, and I've got an email out to see if we can somehow maybe get him here to the studio or down at the range, because he's a great supporter of the Second Amendment. He'd be a wonderful guy to have throw a few comments back and forth.
That would be a lot of fun. When I got that liner, I was at the NRA annual meeting back in 2009. It was just after we'd gone on the air. I took a microphone and a digital audio recorder with me, and I went around. That's where I got those liners that we used. That was all during that time. So if we can, you know, that'd be great to have him come on the show. He's been on several shows. He likes talking to the Second Amendment community. He likes talking to the hunting community. And obviously, the Motor City Man has a reputation to have some marginal skill with the guitar. Probably one of the finest guitar artists there ever was in the rock guitar world. So it would be a lot of fun to have him come in here.
Looking forward to trying to get that set up. Speaking of the NRA annual meetings, they're going on down in Houston, Texas, as we speak. And where's the channel they can tune into?
Yeah, you can get on Sirius Patriot if you have Sirius XM, but you can also get it on NRAnews.com. And they have, in fact, I believe it's on right now. The annual meeting of members started at 11:30 or so this morning, our time. That would be 10:30 in Houston Central Time. But you can get on there, and then there will be another one this evening. They will have the Celebration of American Values is typically what they call that. But it's a fairly big event. They have a lot of speakers and probably have some music and other entertainment. I believe that Glenn Beck is the keynote speaker tonight, and that will be a lot of fun. I went when I was in Pittsburgh. It was great to be there, but if you can't be there, if you're not already in Houston and headed that direction, then you can go out to NRAnews.com, and they broadcast the whole thing live. It's not quite like being there, but it's a whole lot better than missing it entirely.
And again, the annual meetings are kind of a recharge for the firearms industry. They have the SHOT Show in January, and then things kind of die down for a few months.
Well,
and
the SHOT Show's not open to everybody. That's
right,
only people
right,
open
right.
to industry.
I'm saying that's kind of where people direct a lot of their energy and a lot of their attention to see what the new products are. But then the annual meetings is also a place where manufacturers will showcase additional new items that are going to be coming out, either already in manufacture and being distributed or in the very near future going to be distributed. And it's a very exciting time for people in the firearms industry because they get an insight into what's going on. But as Mark mentioned, the speakers, very, very highly charged. And obviously, they've got a lot to talk about given what's happened over the last several months and the prospected things that are going to happen in the future. So they've got a lot of information to give to us.
Let me plug a couple of things. The NRA annual meetings is a free event for all NRA members. If you're not an NRA member, you can join right there on site, and then you'll get your credentials and go on in. You can also join in advance. You can do that on our website at sim-trainer.com. Scroll to the bottom of any page, and there is a Join NRA link. If you do it on our website, you'll save $10 over the regular $35 annual fee, the annual membership dues for the NRA. It'll only be $25 if you join on our site. And so, you know, obviously we'd like you to do that, but what's more important is that we have every gun owner in the country be part of the National Rifle Association. And then the other thing is you really do want to go to the annual meeting when it's in town. And the next one is going to be next April, and it's going to be in Indianapolis, and that's going to be a fun opportunity. If you have never been to an NRA annual meeting, you need to get your good walking shoes on, make sure you have plenty of water and room to carry stuff, because it is a lot of fun. You're going to meet a lot of neat people. You're going to have an opportunity to see some folks that a lot of people that you may know from by reputation only, people who are sponsored by various different manufacturers. And then they also talk about things. They'll be at the booths of the different manufacturers, so you get to meet some of these people. When I was out there, I met Kim Rohde, who is sponsored by Winchester. They provide her with most of the ammunition she uses. Five-time medal winner in five consecutive Olympics, first person to do that in shotgun. She's really, besides that, she's just a really neat person. And it was fun to meet her, and I met Ted Nugent. I met Arlie Ermey and some of these other folks, and you just get to go around and see all these people and talk to the folks and talk to the manufacturers and find out, you know, just talk to what's going on and find out some of the new products. It's a whole lot of fun. There's a lot of people out there. It's kind of like going to a great big family reunion with folks you never met. We need to take a break at the bottom of the hour for the news, so dial in at 457-1290, and we'll be back after the news. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on WHIO.
Hi, this is Cam Edwards from NRAnews.com, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on News Talk Radio WHIO.
I want to welcome our listeners back to the show, and over the break, Mark and I came up with a pretty good idea, I think, to help promote what we both feel very strongly about, and that's NRA membership. Anybody that happens to renew or initially join the NRA either at the range or via our website between now and July 4th will be entered into a raffle for a Ruger LC380, the just released Ruger LC380. That's the new one of Ruger's new products that was built on the LC9 frame, but in 380 caliber. It's a great gun. I had the opportunity to shoot it alongside the LC9 a couple weeks ago when I received our range gun, which, by the way, we have in stock at the present time. If you want to go shoot that and have a lot of fun, it's a great gun to shoot. But you'll be
and we do have 380 ammo at the range.
Yes, we do. Yeah, we have, that's one caliber that we've been able to get a pretty abundant supply of, interestingly enough. But again, between now and the 4th of July, anybody that joins or renews their NRA membership, either online or at the range via hard copy, will be entered into that raffle. Now, you got to understand how this works. The NRA tracks that information and they send us reports. So later on in the month of July, once we get all of the information from May and June, we will do a drawing for
that. It may
that.
Not be actually till August, depending on when we get July.
They're usually running about a month behind. So it may be late July, early August, but we will go ahead and announce here on the radio show the winner of that raffle, because we feel so strongly. I want to issue a challenge. I know that the NRA has now moved close to over a million new registrations over the last several months. And, we're only a small part of that, but everybody is a part of that smaller part. And I want to encourage you that if we could get 100, that would just be tremendous. If we could get 100 registrations or renewals over the next couple months, pay attention to your membership date. And if you're close, take advantage of the offer.
Close. I mean, you can renew anytime you want. So they'll just add that extra year onto the end of your current membership. So if you're an active member with the NRA and you've renewed maybe 3 or 4 months ago and you want to be in on that raffle, you can renew again and it'll just move that $25 back and you don't have to worry about it next year.
And again, if you want to tune in to the annual meetings, just get on the website
NRANews.com
and listen to what's going on. I know that the event tonight, there'll be a lot of very interesting speakers that'll have a lot of fun things to say, a lot of substantial things to say, and it's just a great way to be a part of things.
In fact, if you were listening as we came back from the news and you heard that liner from Cam Edwards, Cam Edwards is the host of Cam & Company on NRA News, and he'll be the one who's moderating and talking about, filling in the things, interviewing people as they are not in the event this evening. So it's a great show. If you haven't been listening to it on a regular basis, go out to NRANews.com. And it's on every day during the week. Plus, they also have some events on the weekends. And so it's a good program to listen to. I've enjoyed it. I've been a part of it. Those of you who may have been listening to it for some time may have heard of Mark and Beaver Creek making comments on their show. And that would be me. I've actually been in the studio a couple of times when they were there. And they're out of the Washington, D.C. area. They're in Arlington, Virginia, right there on the river across the Potomac from the Puzzle Palace over at in the big, the Congress and the Capital.
And Cam is the host of the show that we all aspire to be like. And I know that, as Mark mentioned, when you listen to the show, it gives you ideas, things you can talk about. And when you listen to the flow of the show, a lot of times it's directly in line with the things that we're doing here. He sets kind of the tone for the rest of us. He's the pace setter, and he's what we all aspire to be like. And he's a wonderful personality. He has a wealth of information. He has tremendous guests on the show. And they're a real tribute to the firearms industry.
And in fact, on Mondays, I think through middle of, I think it's still this month they may be doing it. And certainly some of the stuff is in the archive. They call it Monday is NRA Nuge. Ted Nugent comes in or is on the show, usually on the phone because of his travel schedule and so forth. But it's a lot of fun also to hear Ted Nugent, and he's been on their show many, many times. So it's a great opportunity. So if you would like to follow that program, I strongly encourage it. In fact, every once in a while, he will plug our show. It's one of the few radio programs in the country that he plugs, and because we have, I talked to Cam quite a bit before we went on the air and got some tips from him and encouragement, and he's done he's been very supportive of Shooting From the Hip as well. If you'd like to be on the show, call the studio at 457-1290, and we'll get you up on the board. And before we go out to the phones, I do want to mention something that happened just this last week. The Second Amendment Foundation had sued the city of Chicago and the gun ban in Illinois that was on anybody that lives in public housing. So if you lived in public housing, if you had supported, if you had some sort of financial support for your housing, the city or the state of Illinois, particularly Warren County, Illinois, Housing Authority had banned possession of firearms by residents or guests in those properties. And the Second Amendment Foundation said that that was a violation, and they went to court, and they have now won a permanent injunction against public housing ban in Illinois. So that's a really good thing. That's, the Second Amendment Foundation has done a lot towards supporting the Second Amendment. They were the ones who were in on both the Heller case and the McDonald case that guaranteed or that showed that the right to keep and bear arms cannot be infringed with a total ban on possession of operable firearms in the home. And that's all that the questions were asked, and so that's all the decisions were. But there's certainly a lot more of those changes that are going along as well. And this is another huge win for the Second Amendment.
Well, and you know, the decisions like that, or at least the laws that were they were trying to enact or they had in place that were going to restrict law-abiding citizens from having guns were initially designed because they had out-of-control violent crime and drug activity going on in those areas. And it was kind of a gut reaction, a way that they thought they could make themselves feel good by just saying, well, we're not going to allow any guns at all in the area, and that's going to solve the problem. Well, what they obviously have realized, and everybody knows, that Chicago in particular had one of the highest rates of violent crime, murder rates ever recorded in our histories, in our nation's history, last year. It's ineffective. And all that does is, just like what happened in Boston, and I want to mention, first of all, this is Law Enforcement Appreciation Month, and I think what happened in Boston, the efforts of law enforcement, everything from the police officers who initially responded, the officers who sacrificed their lives in trying to take care of the situation, and all the officers who responded, it's a great tribute, and I want you to take the opportunity, if you have the opportunity, to thank a law enforcement officer for their service this month. This is a very this is a personal month for us because it is Law Enforcement Appreciation Month. It directs attention towards officers who have paid the ultimate sacrifice in the service of their country on a domestic level, and they're worthy of that. And I just wanted to mention, they did a tremendous job. But the point I want to spin off of that was, when they had the lockdown in place, or I should say I don't know what they called it, but they had everybody
basically a curfew, a 24-hour curfew.
Everybody had to stay in their houses. In that particular area, in many of those communities, they were prohibited or had great restrictions on gun ownership, so they were forced to pretty much lock down in their house with virtually no means to protect themselves if these violent individuals would have chosen to overtake them, just like they did the individual in the car the abduction in the vehicle at the gas station. You know, they strong-armed their way into that situation, and luckily he was able to get away without injury, and that turned out for the better. But, you know, when they enact laws like that, they were trying to do in Illinois, that basically affects law-abiding citizens and their right to defend themselves against predatory criminals. Bottom line, it has no effect on the criminal whatsoever.
And those people who were in that lockdown situation, they basically had to lock their doors and windows and hope that the bad guys didn't try to break in, because they certainly could have. I mean, if they were using explosives, it doesn't take much of a charge to open a door.
Or just kick the door, because if they were fleeing from the law enforcement, they were in desperate situation. Instead of hiding in a boat, they could have easily kicked in a back door and then taken the people hostage, or worse.
And so those people were completely defenseless, and it's great that nobody else was injured after that. Once they, you know, the first murderer was killed in the shootout, and then his brother was finally captured, and there were no further loss of life after that. And that's great, but it's fortunate, and I don't think we can depend on good fortune to be safe. That's not sufficient.
Well, when you look at the vast area that they were involved in searching for this individual, the multiple communities in the greater Boston area, and even though they had all officers, they were probably at maximum manpower. They had maximum manpower available. They couldn't be everywhere 24 hours of the day. So therefore, there were opportunities where things could happen, and citizens have to take reasonable measures. We say all the time, we're responsible for our own safety.
Exactly.
Individuals, private individuals, you are responsible for your own safety, and to take the constitutional right away from an individual, it's pretty bad situation.
Yeah, that's tough. Let's go out to the phones and talk to Larry, who's calling from Springfield. Larry, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Really appreciate your guys' show.
Thank you very much.
Quick question. Discussion at work about concealed carry, having a concealed carry permit, but carrying open.
Okay. What is the question?
Legal? Is that legal or illegal?
No, that's legal. We don't recommend it, just for the tactical disadvantage of exposing the fact that you're carrying a firearm, it makes it means if somebody has evil intent and they know you have a firearm, it'd be much easier for them to take it from you. And that is something that criminals practice, is disarming people. I mean, their intent is going to be to disarm cops. But if you are carrying openly, it's very possible that they could do that to you as well. And there are some people who are still very nervous about seeing citizens having been armed. And so you may end up getting called, you know, somebody may call the police and say, hey, there's somebody with a gun. Well, if your gun is carried concealed, that's far less likely to happen. But it's not illegal. In fact, you don't even need a license to carry openly as long as you're not in a motor vehicle. So as long as you're just walking on the street or you're going about your daily business, if your gun is carried openly, there's not a requirement to carry. There's not a requirement to have a license to carry a concealed handgun. But if you do have a license, that doesn't mandate that you must carry concealed. You're still able to carry openly if that is something that you have a reason why you want to do that.
Well, I thought that was the law, but my main thing was, my objection, I guess, would have been because of the fact that it would create an uncomfortable situation with most of the public.
Well, and again, that's the unfortunate reality that we're dealing with now. But I think that is slowly transitioning to where I think we all want it to be. And that's where people shouldn't be too concerned about good people with guns carrying guns because of the reality of what that could do for many of us. In typical communities today, there are very few law enforcement officers covering the vast area, and private citizens. In the reality is, statistically, private citizens have intervened and either scared criminals away or resolved situations that were active more than law enforcement have across the country. That's a fact, and that's coming from a law enforcement officer that sometimes gets ridiculed for the things I say. But the reality is, and just think of the basic, if you've got so many police officers policing a particular area, they can't be everywhere all the time, but private citizens are just anywhere, and criminals just pick anywhere to do their dirty deeds. So it's unpredictable, and it's only logical that private citizens are best suited to protect themselves.
Well, and there's two people that you know are going to be there. There's going to be the criminal and the person they're attacking, and nobody else is guaranteed to be there. So if you're depending on law enforcement to provide that security, you can't count on that. And they do their best. They want to be there when they can, but there's just no way they can be everywhere at one time. Larry, thanks very much for calling the show. We need to take our last break for the hour. So if you'd like to be on the show in the last few minutes, call the studio at 457-1290 and we'll get you up on the board. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on 95.7 FM and AM 1290 News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Hi, this is Rachel Parsons, spokesperson for the National Rifle Association, and you're on Shooting from the Hip on News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Welcome back to the show. We have three callers on the line, so let's go right out to the phones, Mark.
Let's talk to Ed, who's calling from Dayton. Ed, welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you. What I'd like to know is, I plan on doing some traveling this year, and I'd like to know what the internet website is for checking state regulations in the United States.
Well, there's several that you can go to. Handgunlaw.us is a good one. They have a good summary. You can go to the NRA Institute for Legislative Action, NRAILA.org, and they have a good gun laws link there. You can click on that. You can also, if you're a member of the United States Concealed Carry Association, there's a good map that you can print off from there. And I believe concealedcarry.net or carryconcealed.net rather is another website that creates a map. There are several sites, and that will give you a link. But the first place you probably want to go is to the Ohio Attorney General's website, and there's a link to that on our website in the concealed carry area. And if you go there, then that will give you a list of the reciprocity. That's not necessarily every place that you can carry, but that is the places that have direct reciprocity with Ohio. Ed, thanks very much for calling the show. Let's go quickly out to Bill, who's calling from Kettering. Bill, welcome to the show.
Thanks. I'm a new listener. My question involves concealed carry inside a vehicle.
Okay.
If I have a concealed carry, when I'm inside a vehicle, should I, is it okay to have the handgun loaded but not on my hip?
Yes. The law changed in at the December of 2011, I think, at the end of 2011, went into effect in 2012, that allowed you to have the carried in any way that is safe. So you don't have to have it in a holster on your person or in one of four specified ways that it used to be. As long as the gun is in a safe manner, so in a holster on your person, you can have it in a holster that's attached to the vehicle. Any way that's legal, I mean, that's safe, you can carry it. So we don't recommend that you set it on the dashboard because the gun would be out of the way, and you certainly don't want to put it in any place where somebody who's not supposed to have a handgun, like a child, can get a hold of it, because then you run into some, you know, aspects of child endangerment, and that's also a problem. So, but as long as it's safe, as long as you have it well within your control, then that's perfectly all right. And any means that's safe, you can carry it legally in your motor vehicle loaded, as long as you have a license to carry a concealed handgun.
Good. Thanks.
You're very welcome. Let's go out to the last call for the show today and talk to Sam, who's calling from Dayton. Sam, welcome to the show.
Hi. You had a gentleman ask about carrying the gun open and not concealed.
Right.
But if you was to carry your gun open, like in a holster or something like that, is it allowed to be loaded?
Oh yes, absolutely. Yeah, and that, as long as you're not in a vehicle, you can open carry your firearm on your person in a holster on your hip. Thanks very much for calling the show. We're out of time, so be with us next week. Stay tuned after the news for There Is a Season with Bob and Gloria. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro on WHIO.